Hi, this is David Steele of the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Penny for Your Thoughts podcast from the guys at Orlando Magic UK. Now it's over to Garrett, Mikey, and Paul. Go Magic!
In order for the magic to work, you have to truly believe in the magic.
How's it going, Magic fans? And welcome to this week's episode of Penny for Your Thoughts, the Orlando Magic UK podcast. We are recording on Friday, August the 11th. And tonight we're joined by a man who I did think was going to be quite excited for the footy season, but it's looking maybe that we're not. Mikey, are we excited? Are we not? How are you?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, I am excited. I woke up this morning excited that Liverpool got first world problems, that they're going to go and splash 110 million on Caicedo from Brighton, to find out Chelsea are then trying to hijack the deal. And then Lavia, who they've been trying to sign for the last couple of weeks and had three bids turned down, Chelsea have now agreed a deal with him. So it's only right that Liverpool try and hijack that just in return, just for a bit of a laugh, really. But I'm excited. Liverpool had a bad season last year. Hopefully they're going to bounce back and get back in the top four this year. I mean, all right.
Compared to Leeds,
it's a bit different. But for Jurgen Klopp standards, it was a bad season. But yeah, excited to have the football back. You guys are obviously happy because you got off to good starts last week, would you say?
No,
nope. Mate.
not with Gary.
Go Gary first.
No, I'll just be really brief. Crap start. Paul.
We shout out to G first of all. Leeds played Cardiff and we had a banter free zone. It was quite incredible, really. Listen, Cardiff turned up, came to play on the break, had two shots on goal all game, scored two. Leeds absolutely battered them. So before the game, both G and I said we'd both take a point. Him because he thinks that they should lose at Elland Road. Me because Cardiff always seem to have our number. So neither of us were over upset at a draw. But I think considering how late Leeds equalised, I think I was probably happier with it than he was. But it still felt like a poor result as we'd absolutely battered him.
The only reason it's banter free is because he's on holiday again.
Well, I was going to say... There's no truth to the rumour that he's left our podcast and gone to the Washington Wizards podcast to be the Cardiff Cosmo, has
there? No, we had a banter free because we both took the view of this could go either way, and we good luck to either team. It was quite gentlemanly, unlike when England play Wales at football. It's, yeah, then it's a different thing. He's having it all then.
So how is Mansfield's answer to the Hoff tonight, Mr. Bacon?
Are we all right? Hoff's doing well, mate. Thank you very much. Yes, it's been a good week. I mean, Christ, we've actually seen the sun. Let's be honest, that was great. You know, I can actually make it sound very posh that we spent yesterday on the terrace, sitting by the pool, enjoying time in the pool with a couple of drinks and some nice food. In normal man's term, we sat in the back garden with the paddling pool, feet in it, had a barbecue. We were great.
And appears in the bacon backyard.
You can make it sound really posh if you try. But no,
it's been a good week. Good man. So on tonight's episode, we're going to discuss Magic players and the international fixtures so far. We're going to have a little bit of look at NBA 2K, even though I don't think we're the 2K guys. I think G would have been the one for that. We're going to look at the Southeast Division because we'll have a way early preview. And we're going to recap on a recent Twitter discussion that we put out. Before we get into that, an affiliate plug. As we know, NBA EU are consistently updating their inventory. So if you're thinking of buying from NBA EU and you wish to use our affiliate code, it is MagicUK10, which will get you 10% off your order. We've said before, we're not saying that's the best deal on the day, but it does work. Feel free to use it and it helps support us. Also, if you would rather have something a little bit more bespoke, you can go to our own online store, which is magicfansapparel.tmall.com for some of our own designs. Links are in the description. And the most important one to us, help support the podcast simply by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Orlando Magic UK. If you have subscribed through another platform, it would really help us if you also joined us on YouTube, and any click is much appreciated. So that brings us to FIBA. The international basketball is underway. Magic Eyes, I think it's fair to say, are following Team USA with Paolo there, and also Germany, who've got the brothers Wagner. Mikey, Paolo came off the bench in his first game, 17 minutes, a US victory, an efficient 7 points to go with a rebound and assist. Have you seen any of the games? And if so, what are your thoughts?
Yes, mate. Yeah, I think none of us are really expecting Paolo to be a huge focal point for Team USA. He's obviously coming off the bench. But I think the main takeaway is that Steve Kerr wants to use him and utilise him as a small ball five. And as we've seen last season, Paolo's versatility, his size is certainly going to be important. And he mentioned that during the Olympics in Tokyo, how important it was for them to have a five who can push the ball in transition, create plays, something we've all seen Paolo really good at. And I think you can almost see him playing that Draymond role for Team USA. It might be something the Magic might utilize if it does really well in FIBA. But yeah, I think that's really the main takeaway. I didn't really see anything out of Paolo that we didn't see during last season. He was solid, efficient, as you already mentioned. I think it's just a different role playing for Team USA, being an important role player off the bench. And I think, like Franz last year, it's just going to be great experience for him. You think he's only 20, playing for Team USA already at a big competition. He's going to be an important player. I'm just excited to see what he does out for Team USA.
It was a deliberate use of the word efficient that I put in there as well, because I know that people this season, if they've wanted to knock on a rookie who puts up the stats that Paolo has been saying, oh, but look at the efficiency, which of course was a rookie being the first option. So I think it's interesting when he is not necessarily the focal point, that he's therefore being more efficient, which I think is an interesting take. I know you would say the competition is high, but there are players who don't do very well in international fixtures. Dylan Brooks, for example.
On that point, Gary, it's probably the first time that he's played a game and not been one of the two principal scoring options. So he hasn't faced a double or triple team. Mm-hmm. There's no other rookie had that last season. So you can stick your efficiency.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like Paul, Mikey's saying there about him being used at the five, and Steve Kerr implying that he would see time here. And Mikey rightly said, we know that Kerr likes the small ball lineup. We've seen Draymond Green operating in the centre position. He's about 6'6", I think. We had heard that maybe that wasn't Paolo's preference prior to the draft when he was coming in, and people were looking at his size and speculating how he might grow. But do you have any thoughts on this? Because Kerr's one of the great coaches of the generation, you would argue. And it's an interesting take from like an authority view to say, oh, I could use him as a small ball five. What's your thoughts on what Mikey said already?
Well, mate, I really like the thought. I've got to be honest. I agree with entirely what Mikey said about Paolo. It's an interesting thought. We've spoken on here before about the possibility of experimenting with JI at the centre position. So why not look at it with Paolo as well? We know he's big. We know he's strong. He's fast, and he has a huge basketball IQ. That's clear. You know, I'm not going to argue. His rebounding wasn't his greatest strength last season. Was it six? I wrote it down because I knew I'd forget the number. 6.9 rebounds per game. It's not the worst, and I think you can expect to see that improved on this season. Regardless, I think that'll be a focus for his work. Coming back to his basketball IQ, he played American football as a quarterback. So you tend to expect a guy who's played the quarterback position to be able to understand what's required of every other role in that team. That's the strength that he will have. If he understands what that role is and he is physically capable of doing it, I don't see why he won't be able to step up to the plate. Mm-hmm. If, and coming back to Steve Kerr, if Steve Kerr sees it there has to be some merit in it. And I guess that Paolo working with him and having it walk through and getting that experience on Team USA, he will see that as well. Mm. It's a great option on rotations to have for the Magic when the season starts. If we want to go really small ball, it's a great option.
It's interesting when you touched on the rebounding there, Paul, because I think we're all like overanalyzing the draft picks so far, but we've seen the types of boards that Anthony Black can put up. And it might be, if you're looking at rebounds from the starting lineup, if that's not an area of Paolo's game that develops, we've got two of the best rebounding guards in the league in Anthony Black and Cole Anthony, who could maybe take up some of the slack there. Mm. Like, and I, ideally for me, Paolo's 8.5 boards a game. That's ideally 8.5 or better.
Yep. Again.
But if it's not going to come from there, rather than looking of like, oh, you have to do this, Franz and Wendell or whoever, you know, maybe it's going to be in the backcourt where they're going to supplement that to become a better rebounding team that way from the guard.
I think it also, if it works out with Team USA and Paolo does take to this role, it helps with our discussion that we've been having about the position of the backup center. It gives you another really strong option. So I'm liking seeing that Steve Kerr's gone. That's your role, mate. Enjoy it.
And you know what? In a rotation with particularly Jonathan Isaac there, it lends positionless basketball to a whole new level of what we potentially could do. And I think it's fair to say, like, the training footage is quite interesting. It's training. I don't think you'd go full out. But I think when you consider like how Paolo did that move where he put Jaren Jackson Jr. in the cleaners, who's the defensive player of the year, and he might not. You look at that and you go, wow, that guy looks really average. And then you realise it's the defensive player of the year who Paolo just breezed past as he wasn't there, breezed through him and such. And then his block against Puerto Rico, I think we are getting little glimpses of if you're going up against that level of defender in practice every day, because GI hasn't been there all the time. And then you're seeing what he can do on the defensive end when he's got maybe more time to think about other elements of his game. The potential is there, because I think if you tell somebody you've got to be the scorer, you've got to be the creator, facilitator, you're going to tire.
Do you know what I liked about that chase back block as well? It showed a willingness to work his way back from a mistake of his own.
Yeah.
He'd lost the ball.
Yeah.
And he'd got the determination that now I'm not costing us 2 points. I'm getting back. And I really like to see in what is effectively a friendly. I was really happy to see that level of determination and personal pride that I'm not going to cost the team even just 2 points in a game where we're running away with it through a mistake like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it was kind of like a thing where you looked at it and you go, that's like a LeBron thing.
Yeah. You can't say that.
But that's Paolo's idol, isn't it?
Ooh.
LeBron James, and statistically, you can see the size-wise and the things he does, it's LeBron-type things to do, where LeBron's being game-changing in many respects by taking that like Magic Johnson role into a new generation, but playing predominantly as like a forward, but you could plug him in as a power forward, a point guard, a shooting guard if you wanted. And Paolo's got that same thing, where you've got a guy who's touching 6'10.5", 6'11", big frame, and then he's just going around doing guard things, and it's a bit like a LeBron.
Definitely worst players to emulate.
Yeah, as G is spewing as he's watching this podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's loving this conversation.
All right, he'll be commenting on Washington Wizards UK when he jumps on with them later on. So we also saw, obviously, Germany beat Canada 86-81, and you look at that Canadian team, and it's got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, RJ Barrett, Dylan Brooks, Lou Dort, Kelly Olynyk, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And it's a shaky start from France, but we saw fourth quarter France emerge. Paul, I don't know if you've seen any of the highlights or the stories around the game, but have you got any thoughts on this?
I have literally seen two highlights, and that's it on this game. However, as always, I'll offer an opinion. Never shy of opening my mouth, you know that. Look, France is underrated. We all know that. And he is a force on that German team. He is, for me, one of their two decision makers in the squad. Him and Schroeder.
Yeah.
He plays with a confidence in what is... He is part of a strong international squad. They've got a good team. Schroeder, Daniel Theiss, throw in Mo Wagner. And then they've got Isaac Bongo, who has got NBA experience. I do think it's hurt them losing Maxi Kleber. That's a big hurt. That's a big loss for them. But Franz guides that team. He and Dennis Schroeder guide that team. And the experience of playing up against teams that are effectively better than the German squad. It's going to stand. France is going to learn again. France is going to learn again. And they German teams just seem to have that ethic to work hard for one another. Don't have to have the best talent. They're always going to be difficult to knock off. Mm-hmm. If you've got a player who is one of your two leaders in that type of environment, you're going to have a strong character that's going to benefit the Magic again.
Yeah,
it's going to be part of his growth.
It's huge. It's absolutely great to see. And I know that we've got a lot of attentions being going on Paolo. I think on, you know, Magic social media, for example, and the world. Like, it's not just a US thing where it's following Team USA. I think it's like a world view of Magic fans. But Mikey, do you think we perhaps do overlook Franz a little bit? Because as Paul said, Germany seems to be going as he and Dennis Schroeder dictate.
I don't think we're overlooking him at all. I think Magic fans certainly know how good Franz is. And I think world basketball, I think a lot of the European teams certainly know what Franz is capable of. He was great for Germany last year during their Eurobasket run when they went to the semifinals.
Yeah.
He had a great second season. The confidence he came into last year with after a really good Eurobasket campaign. And hopefully he can kick on again and have another good run in this year's tournament and take that into training camp in October. I think he's definitely going to be certainly one of, as Paul's already mentioned, one of Germany's biggest threats along with Dennis Schroeder. And I think, I mean, I'm expecting them to have another deep run, whether they make the semi-finals. I know that I had a quick look that the semi-finals in 2002 was Germany's deepest run that they've had when they, well, obviously Dirk Nowitzki was their best player back then and they lost to Argentina. But I think it would be great if Franz could help lead them to a similar sort of finish again. But no, I don't think we're overlooking that. I just think the NBA's based in America. There's a lot of attention on Team USA. They're obviously going to be the main focus for a lot of people. But I think for basketball fans that are going to be following the World Cup, I think Franz is certainly going to be a name to watch out for.
Absolutely.
Fourth quarter, Franz knocking off that Canadian team. So they've got a huge amount of depth. They've got a lot of threats.
Dylan Brooks seems to have carried on from his postseason run right into that one as well. You know,
he's on ice skates, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he got took all over the place, didn't he?
He did.
Wasn't a good look. But
I'm going to have a look now.
Truly just baits him and takes him. That's probably the best way I can put it.
They come on giving it all this, the dancing stuff again.
Oh, thankfully not.
Does he do that with Canada? Has he got them dancing as well?
I don't know. Maybe he's the dancing and having fun in the
gym. Mate, you know where he's got to go. He should have gone.
Should have gone the ball, shouldn't he? That's where he would have really fit in.
There's certainly one fan that would have loved him there. We're dancing.
They'd have been doing like a dancing on start with the ice or dancing with the stars or something.
Missed a trick there, mate.
Oh, man. Dylan, get yourself over to the Bulls Nation. But brings me to NBA 2K, and I've got to be honest, I am not a gamer. So I've played NBA 2K, but it's not my bag. But Twitter, really, when the NBA 2K ratings are starting to come out, it's a pretty big talking point. And players seem to really care about what these are. And for context, I would say rightly, Jokic is the top guy in the game with 98 out of 100 as his rating. And then you've got Giannis, LeBron, Embiid and Durant and Curry are all at 96, which are big names. You know, people will debate this. Interestingly, Victor Wembanyama debuts at 84, which is high for a really high for a rookie, really, really high, before he's even touched a ball. Magic rookies Anthony Black and Jet Howard scored 73 and 72 respectively. They seemed to be quite happy with that. Jet Howard had predicted what he was going to be. Anthony Black said it was fair for a rookie, and that's a typical lottery pick rookie rating from what I'm told. Paul, first up, can you understand the seriousness with how players view their 2K rating in some circles? What do you think?
Can I firstly say thanks for including me in this conversation?
Anytime.
It's nice that you've thought, let's be inclusive and bring the old guy in. The man whose thumbs have got absolutely zero ability to keep up with these games nowadays. Right, I peeked at Sonic the Hedgehog and stuff like that. That's where my my gaming is. Once it got beyond kind of 3 to 6 buttons and a joystick in some shape or form, I was done.
You only played Fortnite so you could do the dancing, didn't you?
No, mate, I don't play Fortnite. The story of that is when Heather, when my daughter was living here, before she moved out, she was in the middle of a Fortnite game and said to me, can you just keep me alive whilst I nip out of the room? You can guess where she needed to go. So I did no more than I kept her alive. I found this secluded beach, cracked up a deck chair, sat my character down by the beach. It was lovely. He was having a great time. Trouble is, when she came back and there's only 15 or 20 players left, she's got zero loadout. She's got no guns, nothing. She's got nothing to fight with. So she was far from impressed with me. That's my only experience of playing Fortnite. The last time I played NBA 2K would be... Wow. 2010, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Perhaps a touch after. Perhaps about 2014, thinking on it. I had no ability at it. I had no ability. I couldn't even sink a three with Steph Curry. If you can't sink a three with him, then you shouldn't be playing it. It's a game that seems to have huge obsession with people. And I kind of get that. There's so many ways to play the game. I know that Heather's partner, Rob, plays it. Mm. And recently, he'd got one of these teams where he'd managed to get LeBron on the same team. He got Michael Jordan. He got Kobe. And much to Heather's annoyance, he got rid of the game before she'd been able to have a go with the team because it was too easy. He binned it. Again. My reactions aren't what they were. I can't play games like this. There's too many buttons and too many combinations to use. The reactions aren't what they were. But that being said, the graphics are brilliant. The game looks brilliant to play. I can understand why people get obsessed with it. And do you know what? If I was 30 years younger, I'd probably be amongst them and being the right ball talking about it on Twitter. Or whatever it's called.
Do you think if you were a player in the league... and your rating came in, would you be paying attention to it, Paul? It was like, oh, I'm an 85.
Yeah, of course you would. It's only like Googling yourself.
I've never done
that. Of course you would.
Does that mean we should Google Paul Bacon?
I used to appear. I'm guessing that they've long since disappeared.
All I'm getting is a link to the Beer Watch theme.
Yeah, of course you'd take attention of it. Yeah. And if, I guess you'd be arguing with Ronnie 2K, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course you'd take attention. You want to be up there, don't you? You know, somebody, well, you've got an opinion that you're a good guy.
Yeah,
you're good. You want, let's be fair, you want the facials to look right and you want a good rating.
Mikey, what would you say is fair for Paolo in France?
Well, if we look at last year, I had a quick look before we jumped on. Paolo as a rookie was 78. Franz was an 80. Wendell was a team high 83. So to think Wembanyama is at 84 and he hasn't even played a game yet is, as Tracy McGrady put, I think it was either today or yesterday, he is getting far too much hype. He didn't have a great summer league. He didn't dominate summer league. He hasn't shown anyone yet that he's ready to be that good just yet. But if we're looking at improvements on this year, to me, you've got to have, if you think Wendell was an 83 last year, then Paolo and Franz have to at least be an 83. An 84. An 84. Would you put Paolo an 85? After the rookie year that he's had, yeah. I mean, there's not many rookies that have put up the sort of numbers and the year that he had. You're going back to LeBron, Kevin Durant, that put up similar numbers to what P did last year. So is it fair to say Paolo's our best player, 85, Franz 84?
Yeah.
I think that's a fair rating, especially if you're going by 84 Victor Wembanyama.
I'm not a gamer, so for me I'm kind of like, oh, that's interesting, if somebody's view of the Magic outside of Orlando. That's kind of how I see the NBA 2K yep. ratings. Yep. But when you're saying about T-Mac and the hype, like this hype for me, I think it's nearer Yao Ming hype than LeBron. Because I remember when Yao was coming in and it was about all talk about like how big he was, like what he could offer from the get-go. But I would wonder what the betting odds would be for someone to go for, say, Chet or for Scoot to be the rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at build. Like, we've already talked about this last year when we were really analysing the draft on Chet Holmgren. But Wembanyama's body is something you've got to look at for, like, what type of... There's going to be guys wanting to make a name for themselves against Wembanyama immediately, like there was with LeBron, like there was with Yao Ming. And you look at it and go, okay, like, what type of a pounding is that going to be for his body over a season? Will he play all the games? And will he therefore be the rookie of the year if he's, say, hit 60 games this season, hypothetically? So I think, is there a market there for, say, Scoot Henderson? Or, like, Chet, who's going to face a similar issue, but maybe out of the limelight a little bit now, to come in and be like a more of an outside choice? Because I would imagine with the hype, bookies are going to just be like, it's Wembanyama.
Nah, I think if you look at Summer League, I think Chet's got to be favourite, or should be, right now. I think Scoot could potentially be if Damian Lillard actually does get traded, because then all of a sudden he's the guy.
Yeah.
But at the moment, Damian Lillard still, he's going to be playing second fiddle with Damian Lillard. I don't know. I hung my 2K boots up a few years ago, so I'm retired from all of that now.
We need the Welshman here for this. He's the 2K guy.
He can't get enough of it, can he?
Nah.
I should have had asked our kid my opinion on it.
we're all pastors, is that what we're saying?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the old guys pod.
Or we've grown up.
Oh, thanks for alienating half the audience, mate. Wow, watch this one. This one's going to get reasonable views next week. Bang.
Unsubscribe. Yeah. So we've got the Southeast. Wow. Mikey's just gone in there two-footed. Yeah. Southeast Division then, and I think it's, maybe I'm looking at this from like a teacher angle, but rosters are starting to tick.
I feel that we now need a disclaimer going across the bottom that views expressed are the individuals and not held by the group.
Mikey's going to get flamed on Twitter.
I don't care.
He really doesn't care either.
I really don't care.
Only really, because he doesn't go on it now.
But there's that.
That's fine. We'll tell you. We'll tell you like a, what we should have is next week is Mikey Clark reads out mean tweets. We should have that. So if we segued onto the Southeast Division and just I'm gonna just go back to it and hope that people skip past it and forget about what Mikey's just said about that. Obviously, I want to just think about the Magic and our division rivals. Paul, I'm going to start with you with the Atlanta Hawks. John Collins, interesting fall from grace when you think about some of the stats he was putting up, the contract he had. There was talk about John Collins being an all-star, being the second guy to Trey. That's dropped off a lot, and he's gone. And the Hawks really have built around, or brought in Patty Mills, Wesley Matthews, the drafted Kobe Bufkin with the 15th pick, Seth Lundy with the 46th. And we're hearing that they've got a lot of interest in Pascal Siakam. But as we speak here on the Friday night, Siakam is a Raptor and not a Hawk. If you were given a grade for Atlanta's, you know, work this offseason, where would you put the Hawks at, Paul?
Does anybody feel they've moved the needle forward from where they were last season?
Right now, I think
they've gone backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, look, we said it before, this team, it all starts with that backcourt of Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. John Collins is a huge loss for that team. There's still talk about Clint Capella possibly going. If you lose those two, that's two of your starting five. What have you really replaced them with? Don't get me wrong, Patty Mills, Wes Matthews, both nice pickups, but they aren't going to be the players that are going to move you from, where were they last season? Eighth in the Eastern Conference, weren't they last? They're not going to be the players that push you beyond that. Siakam, if they manage to pick him up, that'd be a really nice addition. But at the minute, you're looking at what? Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, Sadiq Bey, and Clint Capella probably as a starting five. What you've added to that team doesn't feel like you've added starters.
Yeah, I agree.
They've still got Bogdanovic. But no, for me, B minus at best. And if do they keep hold of Trae Young? If they're still competitive, they're somewhat in a reset. B minus at best, probably C.
I'll be honest, Paul. I would give them a D for the work they've done.
If they keep hold of Trae Young, then that's probably quite a success. I know that there's a lot of people think he's overrated. He's brilliant assist rates, brilliant scoring rates, liability on defense. But you haven't done anything to move that team forward. But you've kept, at the moment, they've kept a strong core together. And I think that they could have easily have lost a lot more. C at best. B minus is being over generous. C at best.
If they brought Siakam in, it changes a hell of a lot.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm not that impressed with what they've got. I just
don't really know what they're trying to do. Yeah. It feels like another version of the Chicago Bulls. I think it's a worse version of the Chicago Bulls. I think Trae Young's the better player if you're comparing top tier players in both teams. But you can't see a pathway forward for them to get into the top four of the Eastern Conference and become contenders again. They kind of threw all their cards into one basket by getting DeJounte Murray, who I like DeJounte Murray as a player. But I just feel they're a bit stuck. I think Siakam would certainly move the needle, but I don't think it's moving the needle enough. I mean, you could say it might just get them a fourth or fifth seed, but I don't really see them being better than Cleveland, Milwaukee, Boston, Miami. I still think even with Siakam, they're all still better than Atlanta. And it's the same with Chicago. Chicago have arguably made more bold moves, getting players like Vooch and bringing in DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball. It just hasn't worked for either of them. But yeah, I just don't understand where Atlanta are really going. I think they're going to be a problem. They're going to be in and around us, I think.
Yeah.
But
for me, that's a team that's still battling 8 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
Picking Siakam up. If you then keep hold of everybody else that's within that group, perhaps moves you to battling 6, 7, 8. Perhaps he gets you a few more wins.
Yeah. I think for me, it's what they give up if they do get Siakam.
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it?
It's what they give up. But I think Siakam added to that group would be quite dangerous, actually. Like I would push them like ahead of the Knicks, for example. And just because I think Siakam gives them a legitimate threat in the front court, and he's so balanced that he would fit in well with what they've already got. But it's what they've got to give up around that in terms of depth to acquire him. When that trade was being reported, I was like, you cannot give up Siakam for that. If that goes through, it's like a heist. But
I've not been on social media at all or sports media this week at all. What were they talking about trading away?
We were talking about, I think it was Griffin, Hunter, and a couple of draft picks. That was like doing the... I could stand to be corrected, but I'm sure that's in my mind. Griffin, Hunter, a couple of draft picks. And
a 16th pick, guy with a bit of... with a couple of seasons experience, hasn't he, Griffin? It was 16th pick. I remember that because I wrote it down before when we were talking previously. I remember him being 16th. That's a... And they're trying low to return,
and they're trying to move on from Capella as well, aren't they?
Mm. I was going to say he's still getting mentioned as potentially going.
Mm.
That's what I saw floating on and I was like, surely not. But it was like one of those where it's not the Magic, so I'm not totally, you know, like really jumping into this. I just looked and went, if that goes through, wow. But I'm in my mind, that's what the whispers were. But I wasn't surprised when it had been rejected because I was like, that's appalling, really. So
feels a bit like a Mickey Taylor, that sort of, if that's the offer.
Well, it's like when you get them trades where it's like, who says no? And then it's like someone gives up like a really good up and coming player for like peanuts. And it's like, well, the Magic say no, actually. Like, that's usually us who are one of those teams who are going to give
2K
away.
2K trade.
Let's get G on. So I would say a team that's been really busy is Charlotte. LaMelo Ball signed his extension. Bridges is back. Brandon Miller drafted. They got Nick Smith Jr. late on. They've picked up Nikolina. So they've been busy. Mikey, what's your views on Charlotte if you were assigning them a grade?
How would I grade them? Well, they've certainly got better. Is a B too much?
I don't think so.
I think maybe a B. I mean, Brandon Miller's obviously a big pickup for them as the second overall pick. Nick Smith Jr. I like as well. You guys talked about this on a show, what was it, 2 weeks ago when you were looking at the East. And Gary, I agreed in that I think Charlotte are a little bit of a sleeper team. I don't think they're going to be one of the bad teams in the East necessarily this year. They might still end up falling into that, but I still think they've got enough there that are going to cause a lot of teams a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. They've got some experience there with Gordon Hayward, Kelly Oubre. They've got some firepower. We know how good LaMelo is. Miles Bridges is going to be explosive. It's going to be interesting to see what it's going to be like with him coming back.
Great return.
They're going to be a problem. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to be a bottom two or three team in the East. I think they've definitely got better. And I think you said, Gary, on that episode that they don't need Brandon Miller to be second overall pick Brandon Miller. He could just be a really good third or fourth option for Charlotte, which I think for a player that probably still has a decent amount of development to do is a good scenario for him to fall into. And he's playing against a really, really good playmaker in LaMelo. So I quite like what the Hornets are doing. There's certainly a direction. They've certainly got a pathway forwards for them to improve. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few moves that they even make before the season. Mm-hmm. I know there's been a few rumours about PJ Washington maybe being moved on. I don't know why they would do that because I think he's really good. But yeah, I think I'd give Charlotte a B. I think that would be a fair assessment. I think C is is, like Paul said, is roughly around Atlanta, where they've just sort of stand pat, really. I think Charlotte have got better this offseason. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'll give them a B.
I think Landon Miller's huge.
Yeah.
Hmm. But it's that return, like we said before, that return of Bridges. That could be so important for him. I know he's got still 10 games, like we said last time around. He's still got them 10 games. So he's still going to be playing a bit of catch-up before he can actually have any involvement with the team. You're not looking at him coming in and being an instant impact. But they just have been for so long that team that can't move out of the bottom, regardless of talent that they've had available.
I'll be honest, I think if I was grading from where they were to what they've done, I would give them an A. Because I don't see how they could have upgraded any more than what they have. Like, you could look at the draft, but they've gone in and they've made a decision based on what they've got, and they've got to live or die by that. In terms of fit, I wouldn't have necessarily done that pick, but I get it. I get why it is where it's at. But I look at, like, bringing back Bridges in particular, the Nick Smith Jr. pick, the hat to extend LaMelo. If they'd lost LaMelo, that was it, like the disaster for them. And then you're looking at, like, the strength of their bench. So I'm looking and thinking, well, they were write-offs. Nobody was talking about them. And we're having a discussion saying, actually, they're not that bad. It's not a free agent destination. So I think, considering what they've had to work with and what they've done, the A, B, you know, depending on what your view is on the draft, really. But I understand that if you're trying to fill the roster, Brandon Miller fits better. But the key for me was bringing LaMelo back, because I think if that blows up, that is really bad for Charlotte.
Yeah.
But a change in ownership as well might just be what the franchise needs, because I think Jordan, as great a player as he's been, isn't exactly revered for his ownership decisions. So maybe it's a fresh start for the Hornets. You know, good luck to them. So it brings us to South Beach. It's all eyes on the Dame Lillard situation, but as right now, nothing. And we've got Kevin Love's re-signed. Jacques Jr. was drafted at 19. Thomas Bryant I think, is a good signing. Josh Richardson's been brought in. But they've lost Victor Oladipo, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Omer Yurtseven, Cody Zeller, and Udonis Haslam has retired. I think it's interesting times, but Paul, what's your views on what's going on with the Heat? Where would you grade them at?
I'm going to say that their grading is incomplete at this moment in time, because their off-season appears to be all around Lillard. Now, whether or not that's media making it all around Lillard, or whether it's his own people making it Miami all about it, I don't know. However, they've lost some important players. Strus and Vincent, they are huge, huge losses. Vic, feel for the guy. He's just been so hammered by injury. He's going to be one of those careers of what could have been. Haslam was a presence, but K-Love is a presence. That's a nice... Resigning him is an excellent piece of business, in my opinion. I agree with you entirely. Thomas Bryant is a great pickup for that team. But if at this moment, and Josh Richardson as well, I think you could see him come in and be a starter for the team.
Resurgence in Miami for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler Herro, Josh Richardson, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, Bam Adebayo. Still a solid five.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in, you know, Duncan Robinson, Caleb Martin, and as you said, Thomas Bryant. They've got some ability. And they're one of them teams. We've said this many, many a times. Doesn't matter whether we look on paper and go, it's not the best, or it's not been you'd have thought they'd have done more.
Mm-hmm.
They just seem to be able to plug people in. to fill the gaps that they have created by retirements and trades. They are not afraid to move players on. They're not afraid to reimagine the team. Because as much as we hate to say it, they have this culture. They have that culture. I know we hate it. We hate it. I know. But it is a fact. They've got great consistency in the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And the front office. They bring that to the squad. And when you're talking about somebody, Jimmy Butler is clearly a presence in that team. And do you want to argue with him?
Well, speaking of Jimmy Butler, my
you're going to turn up and play, aren't you? You're going to try, because he's going to tell you otherwise.
My phone screen just flashed up there. We've got a message from G, who must know what we're talking about. And he said, slate Jimmy Butler's 95 rating on NBA 2K. Complete nonsense, G. So that's it. You must have known where we were at on this.
So, you know, look, I'm never going to be one, as much of a fan as of the Magic as I am, I'm never going to be one to criticise what Miami do off the court, because they just seem to know how to run a team.
Yeah.
Love it or loathe it, it's what it is. They adapt to a changing squad. So, incomplete at the minute.
Yeah.
But I still say, even if they pick up Dame Lillard, I'm not going to say it would be an A-plus season, off-season, because it's what you give up. And it's the other thing, we mentioned this before when we were talking about Miami. If you have players who are being listed constantly as, oh, well, he can go, you can have him as part of this trade, he can, yeah, we can manage without you. How incentivized are you to play for that team? How much do you actually want to be part of that squad? Granted, there's one argument that you want to play well so as other people see your value to a team. But do you want to be part of an organisation that don't want you? It's an interesting period this summer for Miami. And I don't think we'll know properly how their off-season has been until we actually see them take a court and see what chemistry remains.
Yeah, it does hinge on whether they're able to swing this trade for Lillard. I think that's huge, because all eyes are there.
But on what we have at the minute,
yeah,
I like Bryant as a pickup. I think Strus and Vincent are huge losses. See,
there's a lot of hype around Hakez as well.
Yeah,
it's they seem to love it. And let's not forget, they've made a bit of a... they're known for using their second-round picks and undrafted players. We know there's going to be somebody unknown that's going to come in there and perform for them this year, regardless of
on paper, they're drafted. On paper, it's a B minus C, same as Atlanta. They've not done... It doesn't appear that they've done a deal. Caleb is a good piece of business. Thomas Bryant is a good piece of business. You've lost two good players. But you can't grade a Miami team until you see them on the court, because that's where you know what they've worked behind the scenes, because it's all about what they do behind the scenes. And creating a chemistry.
So if we've got all eyes on South Beach, I guess there's not many eyes so much on Washington at the minute in America's capital. And Bradley Beal's gone, Porzingis is gone, Taj Gibson's gone, Kendrick Nunn apparently, Monte Morris. But they've brought in Jordan Poole, Landry Shamet, Mike Muscala, Tyus Jones, Gallinari, Patrick Baldwin Jr. and then they've drafted Koulibaly. Mikey, where would you grade this? Because I think this is an interesting one.
I'm going to give them a B. I think it's probably 2 years too late for them to move on from Brad Beal. They obviously made the deal to bring Porzingis in last year from Dallas, and it didn't really work for them, did it? They've hit the reset button. It's something they had to do. and they've obviously got Jordan Poole to build around Bilal Coulibaly, who we liked in the draft. And then they've got a bunch of guys who, let's be honest, in 2 or 3 years' time, probably aren't even going to be on this roster. it's all about Jordan Poole and Bilal Coulibaly at the moment for me. Denny Abdia. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a Paul now. Can't even pronounce his name.
I could do that one.
Go on, Ed.
Denny Abdia.
There you go, Ed. Good lad. I think he's, I mean, what was he, the fourth pick a couple of years ago? Ninth pick, sorry, in the draft a few years ago. He's really not lived up to the expectation I think the Wizards had when they drafted him. And I think he's going to get a bigger chance to showcase what he can do now. Brad Beal and Porzingis are gone. I think the most important thing for the Wizards is they just hit the reset button here. And they're going to clear cap space. Got a couple of young players to build around and start again. So yeah. It's as simple as that for me.
Yeah. No arguments from me on that.
Yeah.
I think that's very fair, Mikey. And it brings us to the good guys. And we've lost Bol Bol, MCW, Jay Scrub, Joe Ingles comes in. Anthony Black, Jet Howard, Paul, we've had a little bit of time now. Where would you grade us? Are we happy?
I really like bringing in Joe Ingles. I like us drafting Anthony Black. Jet Howard, we saw flashes in Summer League. I can see why we picked him. I still don't think he'd have been my choice. So I'm constantly putting that into the equation. But as we said before, about when we were talking about Jet Howard, you've got to expect that the front office has done a damn sight more research on the things than what we're looking and reading. You know, we're reading people's opinions on what they've seen off of videos.
Yeah,
they haven't seen the workouts. I think we've done a nice job in the summer. It's steady. The bigger summers are coming up. Mm-hmm. This one is a time to develop a little bit further on what we have. So a B minus.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. That's very fair. And then Mikey, where would you put the Magic in the division? Seems to be a lot of change going on. Where would you put us?
I'd probably put us second. I think,
yeah.
I think I expect Miami to win the division. They might not win the division. It might be last year where they don't care about necessarily where they finish in the standings. We saw what they did in the playoffs and got to the finals. I think there's a very good possibility we're better than Atlanta if things go well for us this year. Certainly third, second or third. I don't think we're worse than Charlotte, and obviously I think we will expect the Wizards to finish last in the division. Same as Paul, I'd probably give it a B minus.
Yeah.
I might have bumped it up to maybe a B plus if they had got a backup center that was an upgrade on Bitadze or Mo Wagner, but I think I'm just looking at these grades from a standpoint of, did you get better? Did you get worse? Is your pathway to improve there or not? So I think we got better for sure. We addressed the needs. We obviously needed shooting. We got Jet Howard. We took a swing on Anthony Black, who's got massive amount of upside. And then you get Joe Ingles, who's a solid vet, great 3-point shooter. I'd give it a B plus. Yeah, I think right now, if I'm being realistic, I would say I'd put us third behind Atlanta and Miami.
I've got second or third for the Magic in that division, and I've got B minus as the grid. You know, because it's one of those.
We're all in agreement on that one, aren't we?
Yeah. A lot of it's going to hinge on the draft picks, I think, and then how we rotate minutes at the five. I think they're the big issues going into the season, but there's obviously a plan in place, so we'll see how that rides out for us. So our last topic's Twitter, and one of the questions we recently asked was regarding like all-time Magic lists with a twist. And one of the questions was to put together an all-time Magic squad of players, with the catch being the player had to be drafted outside of the lottery. It doesn't have to have been by the Magic. They just have to have played for the Magic. Some of the answers we got, Orlando Magic backwards. I'm going to say that because I'm not going to try and pronounce it the other way. Gave us Vooch. Originally had Ryan Anderson, but switched to Rashard Lewis. Hedo, Aaron Afalo, and Scott Skiles. Dan Icewan, gave us Jameer, Kat Mobley, Turk, Rashard, and Ben Wallace. And Keith Chief, which is Paul Keith for six, was players in their prime, had Gilbert Arenas, Jameer Nelson, Hedo, Rashard, and Vooch. So, Mikey, I'll come to you first. Where are you with this? Who are in your five?
I would go Jameer.
Yep.
I would go Turk, Rashard. They're all part of that big finals run. That's a bit of a no-brainer for me. I would go Vooch.
Yeah.
And just for a joke, I'll go Big Baby Davis.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So, Paul, is Big Baby Davis featuring for you?
Should we say no? Nor is Melvin Frazier Jr. I'm sorry to diss on the boy, but there we go. I found this very, very difficult because of my time as a fan has been rebuild, has been in the draft constantly. I've only known us as a lottery team, really. So I found this very difficult because there aren't that many players in this category that I've watched as part of the team. Bear in mind how a lot of our scenes have been very mediocre whilst I've been a fan. So I found this very difficult. I'm not that far removed on what Mikey's just said.
Yeah.
I would probably get... You can't ignore what Scott Skiles did as stat-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're asking me I do remember watching Jameer Nelson play, just not with us. So I'd probably go Jameer. Hedo, Rashard, definitely Vooch, and I'm probably going to throw in AA Aaron Afalo.
Okay, it's an interesting one because I remember, like, I know we talked a bit off air. The rebuild when we got Dwight Howard in and we let T-Mac go, and I can totally see any logic there, which has given us Coutinho Mobley in there because individually as a player he was good. But I think I was just remember going back, rolling back the years, my fan views at the time were as good as Dwight takes us, and there was very much for me a two-man game of Francis and Mobley came into town. And I remember as a fan being a little bit frustrated at times, thinking it's actually really about Dwight and Jameer. That's where the magic, a bit like now, where it's kind of like it's all of, as far as Franz and Paolo's going to take us. I felt similar with Dwight and Jameer back then. So with that in mind, I think Vooch, you've got, I totally see the argument for Ben Wallace, by the way, but over a number of seasons, we only really had those playoff bits. Vooch was huge in the post-Dwight era. So I've gone for Vooch. Rashard Lewis was immense for the Magic, even though I know his contract was criticised at the time. Turk doesn't need any explanation at all. Jameer Nelson needs no explanation at all. I've just gone a little bit different, and I've gone for the fan favourite backcourt. So I've gone for Jameer Nelson and Cole as the backcourt. And I could see...
I'm not going to lie, I did think about Cole.
Yeah, I could see there being defensively that might be a bit of an issue with height and stuff, but I just thought, you know what, if I'm looking at players who I've liked playing for the Magic, Jameer and Cole.
I mean, I think Cole is probably the one exception to being in the lottery for my time as a fan of the team. It would have been very difficult if you'd asked me to do one based on my time as a fan.
Yeah.
It would have been I might have to do that. I might have to sit down and look at actually who's played for us, who is in that category outside of. Go on, I'll do that.
There aren't many, though. Let's be honest.
There aren't.
The old second-round picks, there aren't many since you've been a fan.
No.
The only other ones I can think of, Chuma, Tumor was outside the lottery, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, this is where I've kind of had to... Turk, I remember watching him play for other teams.
Yeah.
Jameer, the same. I saw them with towards the end of the career playing with other teams. So, yeah. I'll have a go. I'll have a look at it. As Magic through my time as a fandom. God, it'd probably suck as a team.
You just missed out on watching Big Baby in his prime ball, that was all.
He was still playing. He was still playing.
Well,
he,
yeah.
It would have been with...
The Human Torture Chamber.
Was he with... I won't say Dallas, but I don't think... Was he with Dallas?
Where did he move on to when we... I genuinely can't remember now. I cried look. When he left. No, I didn't really.
He burnt his shirt.
Bought his shirt, so that's a good thing. Someone else did because it was for sale here in the UK.
It was. I saw that on Twitter. I decided not to bite on G's little bit of bait that he threw out, the little line.
It was there for you, Mikey. Calling
it's not happening.
The Big Baby jersey.
You know, Clippers.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he did.
Kind of his final season.
No comment. So on the, I think that brings us with Big Baby Davis talk and going to the LA Clippers.
Oh, what a way to finish. Talking about Big Baby.
Mikey's going on eBay looking for that shirt. As always, thank you for listening and watching. Don't forget to subscribe to YouTube, which is Orlando Magic UK. Leave us your comments. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. From Paul, from the president of the Big Baby Fan Club, Mikey, and from myself, go Magic.